Today, we welcome Colonel Huss, Garrison Commander and Base Operations Manager of Training Center Command at Camp Guernsey. Sir, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Today we'll be talking about a number of topics regarding Camp Guernsey, so everything Camp Guernsey that you could possibly imagine. First off, sir, this is not a quiz to test your knowledge on the history of Camp Guernsey, but it's been around for 81 years. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Seeing the growth of yesteryear and if history is a teacher, where is the camp headed? Obviously, expansion is in the cards. I thought it'd be interesting to see if you had any nuggets not written in the annals or archives of some dusty Quonset hut. What do you envision the camp becoming in the near and long-term future?
Camp Guernsey's, you know, if you just look at its long history when it began in World War II, going forward, weapons become more powerful. They shoot further, farther, faster, more destructive. So they require more training, more capabilities of soldiers be able to be ready to use those weapons in combat. Because of that, Camp Guernsey has expanded over time. Both internally, expansion in terms of its weapons ranges, but also it's had land increases also. When you look at overall, Camp Guernsey's overall growth is going to be increased ranges. Increased ranges for individual weapons from small pistols like M9s to the incoming new Glocks that are 9mm, all the way up to our 50 cals. All those ranges from crew serve or individual weapons are going to continue to be used. We'll adapt to new weapon systems, like, you know, the military is looking at anything from 6.5 to 6.8 Creedmoor style or 6mm. These weapons are going to have different effects on targetry, etc. So we'll have to do with developments as we expand our ranges. Additionally, units have to come and will continue to come to train for ready to generate ready forces for our nation. If you look at the conflicts today and over history, our conflicts will not change. So Camp Guernsey will be one of those locations and is one of those locations that will continually be used for training. Both Guard, Reserve, and Active Duty forces train at Camp Guernsey, and we're going to see that to continue. It's actually increased over time from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s when it was just Wyoming, primarily Wyoming troops, to today where we have Active Duty Air Force on post. We get Marines, Marine Reserves. We get Active Duty Army, the Air Force, Active Duty, and the Army Air Force Reserve come through. You name the forces, we get it. So Camp Guernsey is going to continue to evolve as weapon systems evolve, as our conflicts evolves, and as our troops and our airmen and our Marines require that involvement. So it'll continue to develop and grow. Like I say, it might grow internally with different types of training, training systems, weapons ranges, but there might also be some growth, added on to Camp Guernsey in minute fashion to make sure that we can have safe training and keep the public safe also from that training. And that's a balance there of land and airspace to make sure that we can balance that in support of both their safety and our soldiers' safety.
Sure. Speaking of building, can you tell a little bit about the technology that's being implemented on the ranges?
Well, and I can talk about both. We have a simulation center, you can think of it in terms of video games almost, with weapons that are plugged into systems and convoy systems and rollover systems. That we all actually start there before we head to our ranges. So when we look at that, we've got to make sure we have continual updates of software and technologies because time is our essence. And that's the one thing that guardsmen, reservists, and the active duty don't have is a lot of time. So by doing simulation, we save time and money when we go to the ranges. So we'll do simulation at our simulation centers first. Then we'll roll over to the ranges. Range updates will include different types of target locations, movements, and capabilities of those ranges to support, like I said before, from M9 pistols all the way up to 50 cal. So we'll see those adaptive. And then scoring systems and software changes to improve those capabilities also and to be faster and more efficient for soldiers because it's that time piece that we've got to worry about.
So continuing along that theme of building up expansion, as for tenants, do you see adding more? The ones which hold a deep culture presence, Cowboy Challenge, law enforcement, and the active duty Air Force. Has the Wyoming National Guard sparked more interest for a larger customer base? And is it largely the location, the space, and remoteness of the camp and the town of Guernsey that draws them? So what pieces might benefit Wyoming most?
Okay, let's talk about those full-time pieces on there. Wyoming Cowboy Youth Challenge is right there on post. It's been there about 13 years. It'll continue unless a new location is found or that program changes. It's a great location for them because it brings kids from all over Wyoming who are challenged, about ready to get in trouble with the law, but not all the way there, or struggling with other capabilities. So they come to the Youth Challenge, and they get that extra training from that staff, and they're tenant on post that I don't see going anywhere. And they're actually a bunch of good kids that do a ton of community service within the county and the state, and it helps support them. So I see that program continuing. The Highway Patrol, we've got the Highway Patrol there. It's been permanent. They're looking at some other new locations also because they've got to take care of the state. But we'll continually be open for our ranges to them, our weapons ranges they'll continually use, and in any of our other resources, sometimes they use our runway to do high-speed approaches on our with their vehicles on our runway.
That sounds pretty fun.
Actually, it is kind of cool. Then they also do a variety of other training, from DUI to search and seizure to you name it, how to get in. They'll even use the simulation shoot house. And like I said, our other weapons ranges, both for their handguns, or their shotguns, and sometimes other weapons also. Air Force is expanding over time. It has expanded since it came about 13, 14 years ago. And the 90th Ground Combat Training Squadron is going to continue its nuclear training capabilities. Actually, you see it increasing, and it's actually being used by more and more other Air Force units across the nation. That program is going through updates as they change their curriculum, increase their curriculum, and that'll actually increase throughput of airmen that come through Camp Guernsey. It'll also increase their staffing. It also goes in conjunction with some of their helicopter support and their helicopter gunnery. Currently, there's a environmental assessment going on for a location on Camp Guernsey for helicopter gunnery for the Air Force in particular. Once that's done, they're looking hopefully this next year to start some sort of contracting to construct that helo. And that's all in support of nuclear security mission. So I don't see that going away. I see that actually increasing or expanding as it has over time. Now, if I look Guernsey as a whole in relations to Guernsey, the town, we provide, and I don't want to sound bad, but we tell training units an austere location. We're not a training post that has a lot of shiny rooms and shiny businesses such as Burger King's and Applebee's down the street. We provide a remote location to training units nationwide. Previous units that have come and units that will be coming this next year, they're not coming necessarily only from Wyoming. They're also coming from other states as far as Florida. We've even had to Puerto Rico, all the way up to Alaska. We get a variety of troops all over the U.S. that come. That provides them an austere location that they don't know, pushes them outside their comfort zone for training.
So that probably helps with their focus, fewer distractions.
It does, and it is a good thing because, as I tell commanders, if you're coming to Guernsey to stay in the rear with the gear and all that flashiness and good food, well, you didn't come to the right place for that. You're going to the field here, and that's what Camp Guernsey's about. It's about going to the field. That's what provides, and that's what keeps soldiers trained and keeps them ready and trains them for the future. So I see that continuing. Neat thing is, though, is it supports the town. Camp Guernsey's about the third largest employer in the county. So it's within Platt County there. So it's got a lot of economic support. So our training, along with those units coming through, actually has an effect on the community, the county, and the state. It's actually positive across the board.
So considering all that we do in Wyoming, especially in Camp Guernsey, I know that our new Adjutant General, Major General Porter, has reached out to the neighbors, ranchers, and farmers who've lived there for generations and has made overtures to get to know them better and have better lines of communication. What does that mean in specific terms for the Guernsey staff? He suggested inviting residents to the ribbon cutting for Trio buildings, the main one, a general instruction building, as a means of keeping them informed about what we're doing and as a gesture of goodwill. How does that translate into what Camp Guernsey does on a daily basis to keep the information flow going?
You know, it's kind of neat to have General Porter come in and actually initially have locals, our neighbors, come in and give us issues or give us good stuff and bad stuff or things we can improve on. It gives us a start to lay down what we've already been doing, but it actually forces us to become better. What do I mean by that is already myself and staff, all of my staff and myself, we're at town council meetings, county commissioner meetings, economic development meetings. We try to involve the community. Our neighbors that are in our north area next to Noisy Ranges, we like to visit or leave messages if they're not there whenever we're going to be shooting artillery to make sure that they understand it's going to be noisy for a couple of days. We try to be responsive to the public as best we can, putting out public notices prior to large training events, especially large artillery events because they get pretty noisy, to actually going door to door and visiting different ones. Like we have the Harveys, they're right at the end of our tax drift to the, our tactical airstrip in our north training area. We go and visit them because they're good people. They've got a great view of the end of the tactical airstrip when aircraft are coming in and out. And they've even been able to see some amazing airborne troopers jump out of aircraft up there. But we've got to make sure we help them, make sure we don't get convoys that are going down their driveways. We've got to inform our troops and that are coming to train, but also keep them informed of what's going on. We've got a variety of others like that we do interchange with the community, everything from the local neighbors to even the fire departments and local law enforcement, keeping dispatch open. Dispatches for Platte County to let them know that we're conducting fires or doing prescribed burnings. When I say fires, usually I'm talking artillery fires, not traditional fires, but we'll also do prescribed burning. And if we have emergencies or anything like that, we're there to support. Point in case, we have a fire department now that supports the town of Guernsey and has been on the Britannia fire up at Laramie Peak last summer and was all the way over by the Torrington fire that crossed into Nebraska a year and a half ago. Our fire department is actually supporting the community, not just ourselves. So it's really important both to the TAG General Major General Porter and myself that we are supportive of the community because we are part of the community and we need to make sure we are.
Awesome. You touched a little bit on training that the Air Force does. The aerial gunnery, is that something that will probably involve Army units or
aerial gunnery? Actually, it's both Air Force and Army. But okay. What's happening here is the Air Force now close to 3 years ago armed their helicopters that cover the nuclear fields across the United States with crew serve weapons such as machine guns. Now they have to have locations to train, and we're close, of course, right here to Warren Air Force Base, and they needed a place to conduct their crew serve weapons out of their aircraft, and this is where they come. So this range will be built to support them, and we normally do have Army units also that come. I don't have an aerial gunnery range. They usually use our impact area, or they bring in a mobile aerial gunnery system, such as 2 years ago we had two Army aviation battalions come through, and while one was shooting on the mobile system for targeting and scoring their aerial gunnery, another one was shooting in the impact area. So we'll get both. And the what will happen, though, is the Air Force will continue to use and then possibly increase some of their use of Camp Guernsey for aerial gunnery.
You also touched briefly on the simulation center. I had the pleasure of taking a full tour of the simulation center not too long ago while I was there for annual training. This is where units could, if they wanted, take full advantage of the technology housed there. Could we as a state do better of stressing the importance of that training, especially for troops deploying in the near future? I know that's a yes or no question, but could you expound on the methods for getting the word out? Do you feel the facility is underutilized?
I would say actually yes. We get so busy in our operations as training, as commanders, that we sometimes miss it all the possibilities that we could do. Simulations training has been proven that if you actually use a sim center just on your small arms from a system called the EST-2000 to other small arms units technology that we have there, it improves their actually range capabilities. Even the command and control aspects of the convoy trainer within there, which is a simulated convoy with multiple seats and it's got 3D goggles, it actually enables command and control prior to getting out in the field. So it's kind of like a beginning. We always talk about a crawl, walk, run in our training phase. Well, this could be added into that crawl to walk phase that prior to even getting out on the ground, they can actually improve their capabilities by using simulations and simulation technologies as opposed to getting out on the ground and doing it. And it's the ground piece that's expensive because now we're shooting rounds off. We're shooting weapons of different sort. We got to pay for that. We're paying for fuel. For trucks to move, and we've still got that time I mentioned earlier that's so critical that we're always short of. Simulations can actually help bring that together and actually be more cost-effective, but it's also training-effective, and that's a key. It's training-effective. It increases capabilities.
So that's about time, then.
It's time, and overall, we actually save the taxpayers money by using it also.
So addressing the infrastructure of the camp, the airfield, and fire department, a recent bucket drop exercise showed the importance of these two entities. And what I know about the aviators and wildland firefighters, having qualified folks in both those areas make Wyoming integral to emergency response, not just to Wyoming, but to other states. We talked a little bit about that. Can you talk more about if CAM Currency will become more of a player in regional emergency response? And with respect to facilities, is it possible to expand the flight facilities as well?
All right. So when it comes to wildland fire, it kind of ebbs and tides with the seasons as we get every year with fires. So we've been an integral part of firefighting and wildland firefighting, both our own on camp, but also in support of it, whether it's our own Black Hawk helicopters doing bucket drops or even the Wyoming Air Guard coming through and do MAF missions, training with their mobile aerial firefighting tanks where they can drop water. We already do that, and we have been doing that for years, which is excellent. Can we increase that capability? We have. We've actually increased red card training from not only our staff, and red card training is to support wildland firefighting,
of course. I took that class.
Yeah, it's cool. But then now we started expanding it out to high school kids because there's a shortage nationwide of wildland firefighters, okay, in the local community, especially in the volunteer realm. Not your hotshots, but your local volunteer firefighters. There's a decrease in amount of support in that, especially in younger population. So we're trying to help the local area by offering red card training. We have to red card train ourselves. I've got firefighters, full-time firefighters who do that and will continue to red card train not only themselves but also our staff. So adding those the local high school kids that may add in or join the local volunteer firefighter departments will actually increase our capabilities in the county and also supports the local community. I think we'll see this continual ebb and tide seasonal use of need for wildland for firefighting, but also Camp Guernsey support. A couple years ago, we were a BLM camp or a wildland firefighting camp, both for the BLM and the National Forest Service, where they would come here to Camp Guernsey prior to going out to different firefighting locations along the Front Range when we had a higher fire season. And some of those firefighters literally flew in from Puerto Rico to Maine to just coming up from Colorado or all the way from California, and they would come to Guernsey, centralize, and then go out. So that is there, and it's going to continue to be there. And I think it is possible that we will extend or keep expanding our capabilities and support, especially with the increased risk of firefighters, of wildland fires.
Right. So, sir, you're qualified to call in a helicopter?
Not me. Not me. But I got a lot of great staff who are.
So you say that Camp Guernsey enables training. It's a short, succinct statement that says so much. It's a little bit of a slogan there. Would you call it that or a motto or both? Even though I'm a wordsmith, I like to boil things down to brass tacks, pretty straightforward. You might be the same when you speak to unit commanders that come to Camp Guernsey. What do you find attracts them to Wyoming's premier training site? I suspect the sales pitch is not really a sales pitch, but good old-fashioned Wyoming straight talk. Am I wrong here?
No, you're right on track. Our tag, his mission is for us to have ready forces for federal and state missions. Camp Guernsey is there to enable that training nationwide. Excuse me. Nationwide, we're here to enable training, enable ready forces to go fight the nation's wars. So to fight those wars, when units come or commanders ask about training at Camp Guernsey, I tell them Camp Guernsey is about field training. It's about going out to the field, and it's about getting down and getting dirty, doing those weapons ranges, doing those artillery missions, doing those engineer missions, doing those logistical support to whatever unit they need to support, and actually doing the mission. No frills, no special pieces, no distractions. That's what Camp Guernsey is. It's about training, field training.
Sir, you have been with the Wyoming Army National Guard since 2005. Is that
actually correct? No, I actually came on. I was in the Wyoming Guard back from 90 to 94, left the state, and came back in 2001. I came on active duty in 2005, and then somehow got lucky to be the garrison commander at Camp Guernsey.
So I see you dabbled in geological survey. That's on your resume.
Correct.
Recruiting, as well as performing leadership in those roles. But you've also spent a little time in Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that is probably what intrigues me most. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Afghanistan's altitude and environment is a lot like Camp Guernsey. And that's the amazing thing, a lot like Wyoming. It's higher altitude across the board. I got to go to a place called Coast and Gardez, two places actually. They were both from about 5,000 to 7,000, 7,500 feet base, which was all mountains around. A lot like Wyoming, a little bit drier than Wyoming right now, especially with this wet spring. We're a little bit greener than Afghanistan was, but it was a lot like that. In there, I was fortunate to be with an embedded training team, so I've got to work both with the local populace, some SF units, and then local commanders. So I got to live with the Afghans part of the time. I got to work with the population. Very unique experience, because that's when you actually find, kind of just like anywhere else, 99% of the people are good. They just want to make a living and make a life, and it was a good experience that way. Challenging, though, because you do get in the combat zone, and there's people who don't want to have you there. But we're fortunate. We're fortunate across the board here in the U.S. Did lose a friend there, Captain Bruce Hayes. That was tough as a whole, but we all went there to do a job, and that's why we signed up.
And say a little bit about the geological survey role that you played in.
I used to...
So that helps with your current posting.
Yeah, I used to do what was called GIS, Geographic Information Systems. And then I worked a career through that from some state governments from Florida, and eventually ended up in Wyoming, along with stops at Lockheed Martin, U.S. Griner, and a couple other small firms. So I did GIS, a lot of map analysis, terrain, remote sensing, those types of pieces. And actually, it's amazing, because that has actually helped me both when I was a previous commander, when I was in Afghanistan, when I was a battery commander with the 2/300th Bravo battery. And even now, it helps me analyze the terrain and understand what's going on. And I have staff now there. One gentleman in particular really sticks out. He's really excellent at GIS. So I can go and ask him specific questions in relation to both our training ranges, our units, and our desires and our needs. It's just that excellence and that extra training and experience gives me an extra capability understanding the land and terrain to actually use it at Camp Guernsey. I'm just a very fortunate individual.
And lastly, the recruiting position you held?
Yeah, I was fortunate to both be the XO and then the commander of recruiting here in Wyoming for the Wyoming Army National Guard. That was a great one because you're really involved with the community, communities across the state, but also soldiers, families, dads, moms, kids. You got to understand and look people in the eye and understand who you're training and who you're taking. And you're sometimes taking someone's spouse or someone's child and putting them in uniform and then training them. So it weighs heavy on you. So it's very important to me when I roll that over and watched soldiers in particular, but also airmen, even though I didn't recruit any airmen. But when I watch them come through Camp Guernsey, I want to make sure we give them the most realistic training to make them ready forces for our nation. That way they'll be safer and their livelihood it will be more likely to occur when it comes into a combat scenario.
And we're going to do a little bit of explaining about your sense of humor, sir.
Sense of humor?
Would you say recruiting, is that where you kind of honed it or developed it? Or
I don't know. I think overall I try to be a happy guy because life can be pretty rough.
Especially in the Army.
It can be. And, I mentioned earlier I lost a friend overseas, but I got to go back and think of the happy times we had playing cards with our kids and smoking cigars after hours or having a beer. And you got to laugh about those things because life's rough sometimes. So I try to keep it happy. And I also know that more people get stuff done if they're smiling than if they're frowning. And you're only as good as your staff. So if they're smiling, they're either laughing at you or laughing with you. So let's have some fun.
Definitely. That's a good message, a good philosophy.
I don't know, but it's working so far, I think.
I think so, sir. Kind of answered the next question that I had, which was how this applies to your current post and the job that you do and the kind of rapport that you have with folks. So what portion of your career in that respect, I just kind of wanted to find out who your idols were or who you looked up to, your biggest influencers.
John Wayne. Right off the top, ever since a kid. He epitomized the good things, doing what was right. And I know he was an actor, but doing what was right, not what was easy, and having those rough times. It just kind of epitomizes what America should be. So I think of John Wayne. Now, all along I've had mentors. I mean, you always have mentors. And you learn both from good and bad mentors. And I've had managers and leaders and officers and NCOs all the way along the line. Anything from that one staff sergeant back when I was a private and as infantry to Lieutenant Colonel Fitchner. He was my commander in recruiting. Prior to me becoming the commander, there's just a mix of people. Currently, I still have a mentor, Rich Knowlton, retired colonel, was the commander of Camp Guernsey, and a good friend of mine who's a doctor in education, Jim Burley over in Laramie, Wyoming. He's always a good sounding board. But when I talk to all these people and watch all these people, everybody's a mentor, but in the end, it was John Wayne that inspired me the most. And if you've ever been in my office, I've got a life-size cutout of them because it just reminds me why we're there. It's doing what's tough, not what's easy.
All right. So on the subject of Mr. Wayne, the Duke.
The Duke.
As we know him. What was your favorite John Wayne movie?
Oh. I loved The Sons of Katie Elder. And then everybody loved Iwo Jima, but The Fighting Seabees was amazing also. So it's not just one. There's just different moods when you get in there. Just different moods.
I'll go with the CBs.
Okay.
So we've covered a lot of ground, sir, and there's probably a lot more to say about Camp Guernsey. So on that note, is there anything else you want to tell us about Camp Guernsey? What would you say? And well, kind of frame it like this: What would you tell your successor when that time comes?
The key is support all training units and customers. And I say training units and customers is they're coming in to do a deathly mission, whether it's Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department, SWAT teams, FBI, DEA, and then all of our services, Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force. So you've got to make sure your staff is going out of their way to support them in any means possible. And sometimes that includes saying, hey, I can't do something, being honest that way. But our key is really to make sure we've got support to units to come and to train. No is not always the answer. Let's figure out how to do it wherever we can. If we fiscally, legally, or morally can't do it, then we have to tell you that. But overall, figure out how to train troops. Lean forward and be positive at that. Also, you're only as good as your staff. I've got a good team. We've built a team that was partially in place and partially we've hired over time. As some have rotated in and some have rotated out, no one person can do it. It takes a team. So when things are going right, it's on them. Things are going wrong, it's all my fault. But when it's right, it's all my staff.
Roger that, sir. So we have been talking with Colonel Joe Huss, Garrison Commander and Base Operations Manager of Training Center Command at Camp Guernsey. Is there any more to your title, sir? Or is that?
No, that's more much, than I can handle.
Pretty much it.
More than I can handle.
So thank you for joining us here today, sir. It's been a great pleasure talking to you and finding out more about your esteemed training facility and yourself
too. Well, thank you, and thank all of our troops and support our troops.
Thank you, sir. This has been Sergeant First Class Frank Marquez with Wyoming National Guard Public Affairs, signing off.